can be seated. Thank you. Take your Bibles. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm glad my wife is here today. Sarah, can you stand for a second? Sure. She came to hear Dr. Stubblefield make the announcements in chapel. We're glad she's with us. Thank you. Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to look there. Keep your Bibles open in just a minute. I love to build things, and I think ever since I was a little kid, a lot of boys like to build things. Legos, there used to be blocks that were a little bit bigger. They were called lock blocks. They're like maybe five times the size of Lego. Does anybody remember those little lock blocks? So that's when I was a kid, we didn't have Legos, but we had these lock blocks. And then later on, we had this thing came out called Constructs, and they had this all these commercials, and I think my parents got me that one time for Christmas. And different things, but boys like to build, whether it be a snow fort or a tree fort. Construction, as I got older, I kind of liked to get into to rehabbing. I never built a house, but construction. And then as a kid, we would make little slingshots. We would make tree forts, different things. Yesterday, I was over at City Baptist Schools just for a few minutes, and there's a maintenance man there named Brother Steve Sloan. And he's got, if you've ever been in his shop there at City Baptist, it's like a fortress, and he's got all these tools and I guess you could say big boy toys, but just a bunch of stuff there. And he guards that City Baptist school with a lot of energy and a lot of planning and just all these gadgets that he does. And he's teaching the City Baptist boys to work and to build. But I have several different memories when it comes to building. The book of Nehemiah, of course, talks about building. We're going to look there in just a minute, but lots of different memories from growing up here as a kid. And some of those memories, I was more mischievous or more destructive. I remember one time I pulled as a four-year-old kid, it was back in the early 80s here, I pulled the fire alarm, and at the college when my dad was working here, all the students went out, and back then, you know, if they were in the dorms, everybody just went out, and it was interesting. My several people say that they remember my dad took me down to the basement. I got a big spanking that day. And Mrs. Tony, in fact, some of you might remember Elsie Tony, but she said, "Jack, you got in big trouble for that." And then one time he left us out in the van. The van was running. He had just gotten a nice Dodge full-size van, probably 85, 87, somewhere in there. And my older sister was sitting in the van, and I was just a little kid in the back. And I hopped in the front seat. I said, "Yvonne, let's go to Dairy Queen." And I put the thing in reverse, and the bricks, there was no Walden dormitory there at the time, but I ran the van right into the brick garage right there, where you can't park there anymore. But so I had a little bit of a destructive streak in me, and but for the most part, I love to build things. And I want us to look, before we look in the scripture, why don't everybody stand back up with me? And this is college, so we're just going to do a little bit of a history quiz. And history was not always one of my favorite classes, but as we look here at Nehemiah, in order to be able to read the scripture and understand the background, we're going to just have a short history quiz here. And so if you know the answer to this, just say it out. But who destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 586 B.C.? Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so let's say that together. Who destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 586 B.C.? Nebuchadnezzar. And then Babylon fell. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar was over Babylon. Babylon fell to Persia in 539 B.C. Then who was the king of Persia who sent out the famous decree to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem? Cyrus, king of Persia. So this was a famous decree to rebuild the temple. And then who was the man in the Bible who oversaw rebuilding the temple? Ezra. So who was the man who oversaw rebuilding the temple? Ezra. And then who oversaw rebuilding the walls? Nehemiah. Okay. So Ezra oversaw rebuilding the temple, and they finished around 515 B.C. But what's interesting is there was a period of about 70 years between Ezra and Nehemiah before the temple was fortified. So if you imagine this big fancy temple, but then all of the gates, everything was in ruins. And that leads us to the verse where we're going to start off today, Nehemiah chapter 1, and let's read verses 3 and 4 out loud together. Nehemiah 1, verses 3 and 4. Ready? And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Thank you for being good to us. I pray that you would meet with us now today. Thank you for these students, and thank you for the staff, the faculty. Thank you for the heart that they have for you. Dear God, I pray that you would just give us your mind today. Give us your spirit and speak to us through your word and through these passages. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So the temple had been rebuilt by Ezra, but the walls, all of the surrounding area of the temple was still laying there in ruin. And if you look where we just read, Nehemiah 1, verse 3, there it says that the remnant, there was a remnant of people there. They were in great affliction, great reproach. And then turn over to Nehemiah chapter 2. If you look at verse 17, it says, then I said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. So here we have this city of Jerusalem, the temple rebuilt, but all around it, it said they were in distress. The city of Jerusalem lied in waste. The gates thereof were burned with fire. And Nehemiah said, come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Go back to where we started, Nehemiah 1:3. I think that's one of the saddest verses. After he realized there was this remnant of people that were in great affliction, great reproach, verse 4, it says that he sat down and he wept and he mourned, he fasted and prayed. So he was burdened for his people. The king of Persia ended up letting him go back to rebuild these walls, but he was burdened. The fortresses were broken down. The gate had been burned. People were in contempt. Look, Nehemiah chapter 2, look over verse 17. They were also, people laughed at them. They were a scorn. People made fun of the problem there. They were a reproach. Nehemiah wept, and he wanted to rebuild the walls. But what happened? As soon as he wanted to rebuild the walls, there was some opposition. Flip back, Nehemiah 2, verse 10. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So here's Nehemiah. He cared about the welfare of God's people, the children of Israel. But the first thing that happened is there was people there that bothered. And kind of sounds like our society today. There's people out there, when someone tries to do something for God, there's people that it bothers them when Christians are succeeding, or when Christians want to do something right, when Christians want to build. And then if you look over Nehemiah verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. So he's ready to build. But the first thing that happened after that, verse 19, there was opposition. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Some people call those three the hellish trinity. Sanballat, he was the governor of Samaria. Tobiah, he was the Ammonite leader. And then Geshem, the Arabian chief. And whenever you try to build something for God, there's always going to be opposition. So the title of the message today is, do you want to be a Nehemiah or a Tobiah? Nehemiah or Tobiah? We can either build up or we can tear down. Tobiah, Sanballat, these three from this group, they were the opposition to tear down. Years ago, when I was sitting where you all are sitting, I remember several times some of the classes I had with Mrs. Marlene Evans. She would stand up and she'd say, you know, anybody can tear down. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can tear down and hurt people with your words. But it takes a special person to build up. And that's what this message is about today, to learn to be a Nehemiah, to be a builder. When it comes to being a builder, I want to challenge you with just two thoughts today when it comes to being a build. Number one, to secure the fortress. If you can imagine this city of Jerusalem, the temple had been built, but all around it, they were a contempt. They were being criticized. They were being mocked, scorned, and it was burned. It was in ruins. It was sad. And I think in our society today, when the Christians are weak, when they're defeated, even though we still have our church and we can worship, but when society is criticizing, I think we need to look at ourselves and say, can we fortify that fortress? Can we rebuild the fortress, secure the fortress? 1 Corinthians 3:10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as with a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So in the life of Nehemiah, there was two battles here. There was the battle from within. There was the Christians and the things that they had to overcome, and later on the battle without. But the battle within has to do with each you and me. It's our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to take heed how we're building our lives, make sure we're building upon Jesus Christ. A few thoughts here. The first thing, Nehemiah chapter 9, go with me over to verse 2, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 2. It says, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So if we're gonna secure the fortress, the first thing we need to do is look at ourselves. We need to have a dependence upon God. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, where we started off. The first thing Nehemiah did in verse 4, read verse 4 out loud with me together again. Ready? And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. If we read the rest of that chapter, Nehemiah he's confessing the sins of his people. The middle of verse 6, it says, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. And verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee. And if we're going to build the fortress, and if we're going to secure the fortress around us, first of all, we need to sit down like Nehemiah did, repent. We need to weep. We need to pray. We need to confess. We need to have a God dependence instead of a self dependence. And the people were not humbled, but in this case, Nehemiah decided, I'm going to humble myself. And he got down. He confessed not only his sins, but he confessed the sins of his fathers. So the first thing, if we're going to rebuild the walls here, we need to secure the fortress, have a dependence upon God. The next part of that, we need to ask God for his Holy Spirit. I'd like you to, we're going to use Nehemiah quite a bit today, so keep your Bible open there. But I'd like you to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read one verse over there in just a minute. And I'd like you to get a pen out. We're going to circle a couple words in in 2 Timothy chapter 1. While you're turning there, Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 9, it says at the end of that verse that God said he would bring them unto a place that he had chosen to set his name there. God had chosen to set his name in that city of Jerusalem. And this was a place that God had chosen. And Nehemiah came to a point where he wasn't going to fear, because he knew that this was God's chosen people. This was a place that God had chosen, so he wasn't going to operate out of fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, let's read that out loud together. Ready? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we're going to be a Nehemiah instead of a Tobiah, we can't operate on fear. If we're going to be a builder, can't operate on fear. Circle, there's a few words right after the word fear there in 2 Timothy 1, 7. Circle the word power. So if we're not going to operate out of fear, there's three ways we can operate, that we should operate. Number one, power. Circle the word love. And then circle the words sound mind, or you could say wisdom. James 1, 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. So if we're not going to operate out of fear, we're going to ask God for his power, ask God for his love, ask God for wisdom. Last week, I was walking through the church on, I think it was last Monday. Mrs. Jacinta Collins, her husband passed away a few weeks ago, and he was the one who oversaw a lot of our custodians at the church, and she still works at the church. She started back up, I think, last Monday, and she wanted to meet with me about, she had a question about something, so I went over and saw her in the auditorium, and we stood there in the hallway and just talked for a while, and she reflected a lot about her husband, and she said, I know the church was surprised that he passed away, but she said, it wasn't a surprise to me. She said, I was, for the last 3 months, we kind of knew that something wasn't right, and know, we would go to bed at night, and she said, he said to me, Jacinta, you don't have to fear. And he gave that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. She had said I was kind of fearful, and her husband read her that verse, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And then the next Sunday in church, Pastor Wilkerson stood up, and he said, some of you out there, you're fearing, you're living in fear. And he said, you need to claim that verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, get over it. And she said he was preaching right to her that day, and she just had the peace that she needed not to fear. And when it comes to building, we can't operate in fear. If we operate in fear, we'll never get anything done. It says here in Nehemiah 1:9 that God had chosen, you can flip with me back to Nehemiah, but God had chosen this place to set his name. And if God had chosen it, there's no need to fear. And guess what? If God chose you back maybe when you were a teenager, or you made a decision to serve him with your life, then you don't have to live in fear. God will be with you. God had not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love, of a sound mind. There's some other scripture in that same passage. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And if God's brought you this far by faith, he will continue to be with you. Don't operate out of fear. Pray for Holy Spirit power. Pray for wisdom. Pray for love. If we're going to be a builder, we're going to be a Nehemiah. We can't be lazy. The next thought here, we have to be diligent. Look with me in Nehemiah chapter 4. And verse 10, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, let's read that out loud together. Ready? And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Their strength was decayed, and for some reason they had gotten lazy. They didn't have any energy. And I wrote down a few things. I don't know if, what the sins of the day were, but maybe I wrote down video games, maybe social media, maybe switching jobs all the time, failing classes, but the laziness, it says their strength had decayed, and they're not going to get anything done when we're lazy. The opposite of being lazy is being spirit-filled. Lazy people are not filled with the Spirit. I'll read a couple scriptures about that. Proverbs, you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. It's always interesting to me when God talks in Ephesians about being filled with the Spirit, that he contrasts that with, it says, be not drunk with wine. So in other words, the opposite of being Holy Spirit filled is when we give total control to our flesh, drink, and alcohol. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So the opposite of being lazy is being a hard worker and being Holy Spirit filled. And then the last part of this, we want to strengthen the fortress. If we're going to do the work that God's called us to do, if we're going to be a Nehemiah instead of a Tobiah, we need to strengthen the fortress that's broken down. And the last part of that, where we just read there, it said there was much rubbish. And ask yourself, is there some things that are kind of time wasters? I mentioned it, video games, social media, things that are wasting your time. Is there some rubbish that you need to get rid of? Godliness and holiness versus immorality and disobedience. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34, it talks about evil communications, corrupt good manners. It also says to awake to righteousness. And these things, immorality doesn't happen overnight. It starts with these little attitude things. It starts with our language. It starts with evil communications. Immorality starts with disobedience. It doesn't just happen overnight. It starts with other sins. It starts with the wrong kind of music. And it bothers me when some people say, well, I love my Taylor Swift. There's a younger generation that's looking at that, and they see that's not how to strengthen the fortress. That's not going to help the cause of Christ. And there's a younger generation that look at that. Are you being a Nehemiah, or are you being a Tobiah? Does your music show that you're a Tobiah or a Nehemiah? Are you a builder, or are you tearing down? Godliness and holiness versus immorality and disobedience. So number one, strengthen the fortress. Look around. There's a battle within. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen the fortress. And then the second point here is strengthen the family. And we're talking about the people around us. Look with me in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. And let's read that. I'll read the beginning, and then I'll have you join me halfway through. It says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me." And let's read the rest together. "And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." I underline the word us. He didn't say, you know, he was just going to go do it all. He said, let us rise up and build. There's people around us that we need to take along with us on the journey. He invited the other people. If you look in chapter 3, he invited the priests. The religious leaders, they led the way. So if you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a school administrator, a principal, whatever you're going to do, a Christian school teacher, a godly mom or dad, it says here the religious leaders of the day, they led the way. And then in chapter 7, all these families, if you read Nehemiah, it goes on and on with all these lists of names. The families got involved. So if we're going to build, if we're going to be a Nehemiah, we need to strengthen the family around us. Strengthen the people of God on your bus route. Strengthen the people of God in your Sunday school class, your relatives, your families, your brothers and sisters in Christ, roommates. Are you a Nehemiah or a Tobiah? Your fellow students at work. If you're switching jobs all the time or not being diligent with your work, to be a Nehemiah versus a Tobiah, might stand around and talk all the time. In church, discipleship, soul winning, a kind note. I wrote this down just to send somebody a note. If the Lord puts somebody on your heart, sometimes we ignore those promptings, but there's a reason God gives us the intuition sometimes. Sometimes we wait for a second or a third prompting and God puts someone on our heart. But send them a note of encouragement. In your church, strengthen the people of God in your Jerusalem. We're talking about the temple had been rebuilt by Ezra, but now it was time to fortify, and now it was time to strengthen, rebuild the walls in your Jerusalem, in your neighborhood, and then also around the world, wherever God has called you. Who is the Lord provoking you to reach? Who is the Lord provoking you to build? Does someone come to your mind? And we should not ignore those promptings. There was a famous carpenter, famous builder in the Bible, Jesus Christ, a carpenter of Nazareth, and just decide today to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. When it comes to this strengthening the family, that we're talking about the words that we use to be a builder, I repeat it again. Mrs. Evans said, anyone can tear down, but it takes a special person to build up. Turn with me back to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? And when I see that verse, I think of a scorner. A scorner. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. I look at myself, when someone corrects you, do you hate them or do you love them? The Bible says here, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So if we're going to take correction in the right way, we need to make sure we're not a scorner. We need to love it. If we're corrected, it says a wise man will love it. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning. So when it comes to being a builder, the opposite. If you're going to be a Nehemiah, you're not going to have a scornful spirit, a critical spirit. You don't have to turn. I just want to read one other passage from Ephesians chapter 4. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put far away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Bitterness, it says there that we can't let bitterness come into our life. It's Pastor Wilkson's used the illustration before from Hebrews 12:15 about, you know, sometimes you can just be walking through life and it's like all of a sudden in the middle of the sidewalk or the middle of the road, a root of bitterness can just spring up, and you might say, well, I'm not a bitter person, but something that you didn't realize was there comes back. When my mom went to Bible college years ago, that down with Dr. Lee Robertson at Tennessee Temple, she had been just a brand new Christian, only saved for 6 months, and one of the first verses she heard in one of the classes, they had her say it out loud, was Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And that's a secret to the Christian life. If we're going to, if we're not going to have critical words, if we're not going to be a Tobiah, then we're gonna need to make sure we're not walking around offended or bitter. Why don't we say that verse out loud together? Psalm 119, 165. I'll just recite it. We'll say it a couple times here. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. One more time. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So whether it be our social media, our music, what we're doing, is it edifying the saints? Is it helping people? Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So ladies, do your words build up or do they pluck down? Anyone can tear down, but it takes a special person to build up. Are you a Nehemiah or a Tobiah? There's no success without successors. So ask yourself, who am I working with? Who am I training to take my place? Who am I training to be the next bus worker? Who am I training to be the next bus captain? Who am I training to do the next thing with what God's called me to do? Who are you training to do your job in the future? And who are you building to reach the next generation? Two thoughts: secure the fortress, that's the conflict within, and secure the fortress, and then strengthen the family, that's the conflict without. There's the Sanballats, the Tobiahs, the critical people, and make a decision that you're not going to be one of those people. Do you find yourself on the side of the enemies of the Lord, or do you find yourself on the side of Nehemiah, wanting to encourage, wanting to build, and wanting to help be part of the solution, not part of the problem? Years ago, Dr. Hiles used to quote a poem quite a bit. It was called The Bridge Builder. And I'll read that to you now. It says, an old man going a lone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in this path I have come, he said. There followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been is not to me. To that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. And ask yourself, who am I building? Who am I helping? Am I reaching somebody for the next generation? Let's look here in Nehemiah chapter 6, just two more verses. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Let's read those out loud together. Nehemiah 6, verses 15 and 16. Ready? So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this was wrought of our God. In other words, the enemies, they said that the only way that could have happened was because of God. And that's an encouraging thought there. It only took 52 days. Many people said it should have taken a lot longer, that they could build, refortify the city of Jerusalem, refortify those walls in 52 days, but they perceived that this work was wrought of God. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Are you a Nehemiah or a Tobiah? And let's bow our heads and close our eyes. There's that verse I read earlier said that there's rubbish that maybe needs to be getting rid of. There was rubbish in the way, there was laziness. Judah said, the strength of the bearers, the burdens is decayed. There's much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. Let's secure the fortress, strengthen the family.